As you turn to Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 24, I'll say not to repeat, but to affirm what Brother Ken said about our dinner a few hours ago. It was delicious. I don't know Fanny, but I think probably she could learn a great deal from the cooks here. And every time, I'm always amazed at how, like busy bees, everybody gets things together, takes things apart, puts things back together, cleans things up. And, you know, I was here for the entire situation today, and I didn't see one cross look or cross word. Everybody was working together with smiles on their faces. And that's exactly what you want to see. And so what Ken said, I agree. Matthew chapter 16. You'll have to trust my memory. Somewhere in this world are my glasses, but they're not here. They're right there. That's fine. Who needs glasses anyway? But Jesus tells his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever will gain his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it or gain it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Wouldn't you have to agree that if heaven is our number one goal, and it should be, the largest distraction is this world? If the soul, our inner self, our spiritual being is most important, that's which is drawing us away from our purpose, our reason for being, is a preoccupation with things that are not of the spiritual self, but of the physical self, things of this world. And that's why Jesus will say in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Well, of course, we shouldn't have a preoccupation, especially a love for this world, when our goal is heaven and our real self is our inner self, our spiritual being, our very spirits. Which brings us to the subject for this evening of money, which by itself is so very benign, so very harmless, in fact, so very neutral. There's nothing good about money, nothing bad about money. It just is what it is, and what is it? Well, there's the rub. Because of inflation, it's worth less year after year, and yet you take that money into a store having a big sale going on, and all of a sudden it's worth more, which tells us just by this that the money itself is not really anything but an expression of what can be exchanged for it. By itself, it means absolutely nothing. If you were on a deserted island with no other people, no prices, no products, you might just as well burn your cash for firewood than you would to use it for anything else, because it would be useless. Money is just a means of exchanging it for something else, but always something else in this world, in many cases for things of this world. And knowing that our biggest distraction from heaven is this world, our biggest distraction from feeding our souls is being preoccupied with our flesh, and realizing that money is right at the heart of all of it, Jesus then spends a lot of time in his ministry talking about money, material things and the danger of that. Here he is speaking in Luke chapter 12 about the Holy Spirit, and in the midst of speaking, he has a man interrupt him. Lord, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. But no matter who was right and who was wrong and who really deserved that inheritance, it was a matter of money. And Jesus quickly laid this matter aside, saying, I'm not a judge over such matters. But then he digs into what is really the core issue. It's not a matter of money or this inheritance. It's a matter of what one might think about it. And he says, beware and take heed of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Well, this is just one of so many examples of our Lord speaking about money, material things, and the danger of being so obsessed with them, we lose sight of what's most important. Becoming so distracted by them, we lose sight of our heavenly home and our heavenly goals. Now, I'll just tell you, there's three things, I think, that determine whether money is a good thing or a bad thing. It can be either. It can be a wonderful source of good in this world. It can be a terrible source of division and even warfare and death in this world. And the three things that determine that are, number one, what you think about it. And number two, how you obtain it. And number three, what you do with it. And years ago, I'd put this first point last. I'd say, well, it's how you get it and what you do with it and what you think about it. And then the more I have considered the matter, I realize number three belongs at number one. Because number one determines number two and determines number three. There's nothing more important than what you think about it, because that determines everything else. Which brings us back to that story in Luke 12, where Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness. Let me ask you a question. How much money does it take for a person to be covetous? Now, that was kind of a trick question. There is no proper answer, except to say it doesn't make any difference. A rich person can be covetous. A poor person can be covetous. A person that's never worked a day in their life can be covetous. And a person that works day in and day out just to scrap by for the necessities of life, that person can be covetous. All the word means is a preoccupation, an inordinate desire. We might say a love for material things. One who chooses to serve mammon rather than God. One who puts treasures on earth and not in heaven. That's covetousness. And because of that, we might think, well, this subject doesn't even apply to me because I don't have any money. In fact, because I have no money, that's all I can think about. It's the fact I have no money. And I've got bills to pay, and I've got no money to pay it. And I've got things I want, and I've got no money to buy them. And I've got things I'd like to do, and no money to do them with. I wake up in the morning thinking, how can I get more money? And I go to sleep thinking, how can I get more money? And I go through my day thinking, how can I get my hands on more money? I can't be covetous. When everything I've just described is a covetous attitude. And so what you have, what you don't have, has nothing to do with whether or not you have a problem with covetousness, a love for money. Now, we just read together in Matthew 16, where Christ makes what seems to be an audacious statement, comparing the entire world and the goods, the material matters, all the money, all the gold, all the silver, all the Bitcoin, everything the world has to offer, and yet in the process loses the soul. And of course, his point is that's a bad trade. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul. And then Christ puts this question at the end. What will a man give in exchange for a soul? Now, we're not talking here about money. We're talking about value. And those are two different things. We've just mentioned earlier that money can be eroded through inflation. It can mean more if there's a sale going on. But value is something else. And your spiritual self has intrinsic value that is worth more. Jesus said it. Is worth more than the job you hold, than the hobbies that you love, than the money in your bank account or the car in your garage, the car around your the garage around your car. Your soul is worth more than everything you have. In fact, your soul is worth more than everything the world could possibly offer. Now, there's reasons for that. The most glaring and obvious is the fact that the minute you leave this life, all of that's left behind. And so if you gain the whole world and then left this life in death, the whole world wouldn't be taken with you. It'd be left behind you. And back to Luke 12 and what Jesus said about covetousness, that's the parable he tells of the rich farmer. Who thinks he has everything laid out for him, for now and forever. Much goods laid up for many years are his words. And of course, that night, his soul was required of him. That night, he died. And because of that, he's called a fool. Then who shall these things be you have provided? So is everyone who is rich toward himself, Jesus says, and not rich toward God. And so it's important to put money in its place. Turn, if you would, to number 485. 485. And I take it back, I need my glasses. The Bible is one thing, the songbook is something altogether different. 485. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Before we sing verse number 2, I realize that's not the tune. But we're going to go ahead and sing it that way anyway. I'm sure somewhere that song is the tune I'm singing, but that's not it. But pretend for just a moment like it is for one more verse. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Well, of course, we should be willing to take Jesus and leave the world behind. And we say to others, well, you can have the world, I'll have the Lord, because that's what matters most. But on this subject, turn to one more passage this evening. It's found in 1 Timothy and chapter 6. Where Paul takes this same idea and he digs deeper and drives further into it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning now at verse number 6, where the inspired Apostle Paul says, "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And I'll draw your attention to that part of our reading which is most memorable and most quoted, verse number 10. The few words which simply say, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." That leads us one step past covetousness to some of the dangers of covetousness in practice. If you love money, you'll do almost anything to get it. Sometimes things that are illegal, sometimes things that may be legal but are unethical. Just because the law says I can do it doesn't mean it's right to treat you in some ways that are unfair to you, and just so I can get your money in my pocket. And some things people would never do unless a price tag is placed upon the action, and then they change their tune pretty quickly. And so, yes, covetousness, when it comes to full fruition, oftentimes leads to sin in terms of the way money is obtained, but also the way money is spent or used or expended. Sometimes it's used for illegal purpose, sometimes for unethical purpose, sometimes for nothing more than just selfish purpose. In this same chapter, a little later, Paul will warn those who are rich to instead of trusting in uncertain riches, to instead to be rich in good works. Well, some of those good works can be done with this good money, which is a part of their riches. And so, yes, as we consider this world and how we should not be distracted by it from our more important home in heaven, how we should be not emphasizing this flesh, but our spirits, and how money plays into this, we should be very careful not to spend too much time obsessing over that which absolutely means nothing eternally. Now, I know it means a lot right now. I'm always reminded of that phrase from the movie we tend to watch at Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life, where the angel is talking to whatever character Jimmy Stewart's playing there. And, of course, Stewart's needing some money. That's the whole problem. That's why he's about to take his life. He asks the angel, "Do you have this amount of money?" He says, "No, we don't have money in heaven." And Stewart's character says, "Well, it comes in mighty handy down here, bub." And I realize that's true. In this life, there's a lot that money can buy, a lot that money is needed for. But there is the distraction and there is the temptation. Taking something which is neutral and even necessary for some things and giving it such importance and allowing it such preoccupation in our minds and thoughts that we think the wrong things and we do the wrong things by how we get it and what we do with it. And be very careful what you do concerning money. Perhaps you're here tonight, not a Christian. Oh, please know the greatest worth is your soul, and the greatest price is what God in Christ paid for your soul, the death of His own Son on the cross. Have you ever given your life to Him? Have you ever said, "Take the world, give me Jesus," by obeying the gospel? Or perhaps as a child of God, you've done that, but time has come and gone, and you've left Him. You know you have and need to come back. If you need to come this evening, do so now as together we stand and sing.